And if you guys have been around me a few years, I've got something for us today. And I believe the Lord has put on my heart to continue the last of Jeremiah 36 for a Christmas message. And to just stick with the chapters and verses in the Bible. If you've been around, you've known that I do that quite often during the Christmas and Easter, is just to go right through the Bible and not skip a beat and find Jesus in the Scriptures. And I believe we're going to find Jesus in the Scripture this morning and in next Sunday's Christmas message. And be prepared to go over to Health South. We're going to sing carols right after service. You will be done before 1 o'clock. You can go have lunch. You know, you're not going to miss anything. So that will be a wonderful blessing. If you've never done that, make it a point to do it. It will be the highlight of your Christmas, I assure you. When you see people crying and overjoyed and thanking you, not just the patients, but the staff as well, for us to come and sing and to have them sing along with us, it is a great, great time. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and to give of that and watch the blessing that comes when we do that. So I encourage you, let's have a big group. It would be great to show up at Health South directly after service next Sunday. Jeremiah 36. Father, we come to you, Father, this morning. We know, Lord, that as Jim mentioned, Jesus was before John. Jesus said he was before Abraham. Before Abraham I was. I am. Excuse me, the I am. And so we know, Lord, that Jesus is eternal. He is God. And so we pray, Father, as we look at him, the manifestation, Lord God, of all that you are, that the word was spoken and there was light. And so may the word, Jesus Christ, bring light into our hearts this morning as we take a look at your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read through our text this morning and not stop, and then come back and break it down a little bit if you don't mind. And so it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, and that everyone may turn from his evil way, and I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. And it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch, son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who come from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. And Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. And when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And there all the princes were sitting, Elishama the scribe, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nathaniah. This is Star Wars stuff here. Except it's harder. To Barak, saying, take in your hand and the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people and come. So Barak, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Barak read it in their hearing. And now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Barak, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? So Barak answered them, and he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me. And I wrote them with ink in the book. And the princes said to Barak, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. So the king, they went to the king and the court, and they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elisham the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. The king Jehudi, to bring the scroll, he sent for him, and he took it from Elisham the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. And now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened, when Jehudi had read the three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. And after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Barak had written in the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written it in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, says the Lord, concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. And this is next week's message. He shall have no one sit on the throne of David. Lord, bless your word, we pray. Now, let's take a look at this. You're going, what in the world are you doing, Pastor, with a verse like this? But see, this is so relevant to today, if you think about it. Because the word of God, see, has been exactly what this king did at that time we're seeing happen right before our eyes today. Now, this is at the time or near the time of the first Babylonian invasion, which was actually 605 BC. And Daniel and other captives were taken to Babylon. Now, just a reminder to you guys, that God's plans for the nation and the people of Israel was good. He had a future and a hope for them. And through Jeremiah, part of the prophecies were that they should not fight the king of Babylon, but they should surrender and be taken captive, and that God would prosper them in the land of Babylon until the land had its rest of 70 years because they had not kept Sabbath for 490 years. The Sabbath year, that is, letting the land rest, and that they would return and be blessed. But they refused to hear the word of the Lord from Jeremiah, and instead listened to false prophets, said everything was going to be hunky-dory and we were going to defeat Babylon and so on and so forth. So God at his best, in his best effort, was trying to bless the children of Israel. This doom and things that would come upon them was because they did not listen to the Lord, okay? It wasn't that God wanted them harmed. So the first thing we get is that this God is telling Jeremiah, write these first 22 years of prophecies down on in a book. Write it with ink. Put it on paper. You've been prophesying these things to the children of Israel for 22 years. We gather that from what it's telling us about the years of the kings. And now I want you to put it on paper after 22 years. And so it's the first compilation and most likely information we can do with. Now I want you to see something here. And this message this morning will mean nothing unless you get this. Write on it all the words that I have spoken. This is what God has said to Jeremiah. Write down the words I have spoken. The first thing I wanted to do is go and dwell on this a moment. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were, moved by the Holy Ghost. Interestingly, Peter is telling us something very important. This word moved is the Greek word we get sails from. Okay? So you consider this, is that the wind, the rock of God, the breath of God blows against a sail. And Peter is saying the prophets of old were moved by the breath of God to write what they wrote. Okay? That's important. I've got another verse out of Paul writing to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Greek here is theo, theology, neustos, wind or breath. Your pneuma, your breath. It means all scripture is God-breathed, okay? And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And obviously God wanted to bless them if they would have honored the words of Jeremiah, which he was moved by the breath of God like a sailboat. And and as he wrote, it was God-breathed. Theonoustos. Today there's obviously a very strong effort on the part of the world to destroy or remove the Bible. We've seen it occur in the public forum for many years now. That was the first part. So he says to hear what God has spoken. God has spoken it. So are we willing to hear what he has to say? Secondly, God said that every man should turn. Maybe every man will turn from his evil way. Again, we get a word turn. Is literally repent. And that word is metanoia in Greek. It means to change your direction. You change your mind. You change the way you walk in life. If you don't do that, it may be that you aren't saved. Or if you're not saved, or you are saved, you don't give a rip about God. And you don't really want to hear what he says or obey what he says. You just want to go on your merry way with your fire insurance. As long as you get into heaven with your pants burning, you're happy. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. We went through that. By the seat of your pants. God's so gracious, he's going to let you in heaven anyway. Because it's going to be based upon Jesus, what you do with Jesus and nothing else. And if they would turn, the third part is that God would be gracious to forgive their iniquity and their sin. A forgiving God. You see, this is Jesus right here. If we will come to Jesus and repent and ask him to come into our lives, we're forgiven of all our sin, all our iniquity. So Jeremiah is shut up in a prison. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul, and he writes these prison epistles. And he uses Timothy and Apollos and Barnabas and all these other guys to go around and send the letters and teach the churches while he's in prison. And so he's under confinement and he can't go anywhere. So he has Brock come and write down on paper the words that the Lord has given him. Excuse me. And I guess the last part of this is that we're going to go to a verse in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is a contemporary of Jeremiah. You got Daniel that's gone into captivity in Babylon. You have Jeremiah still in Jerusalem under confinement. And you have Ezekiel wandering between the two at the river Chebar, you know, between Jerusalem and Babylon as a wanderer. And they're all prophets of God, contemporaries. And he says this, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live." God wants us to have life. He wants all of humanity to have life. He takes no pleasure in people going to hell at all. And so I have a word from John, the apostle, that see, the thief is Satan. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And obviously, destroying the Word of God is part of his plan. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." That would mean that for us as believers, the light came on when you received Jesus as your Savior, because literally God came into your spiritual life and enlightened you. But at the same time, all of the words of God are meant to give you abundant life. So maybe you're just alive, but you don't have abundant life. Well, God can change that today. Start listening to his word, start desiring his word, and start living by his word, and abundant life will miraculously become part of your being. And I can tell you, for anybody that has gone that direction, that they will confirm 100% that your life changes for the better. We just have a stinking flesh that wants to win that battle, and we give in to it too much. If you want abundant life, get into the Word, let it speak life to you. You see, here's a thing, and I might repeat this verse next week. Jesus came into the world not to condemn it. Why? Because it's already condemned. See, everyone was born with a sin nature from Adam on. After Adam's disobedience, humanity inherited the sin gene. And so humanity's already condemned. So Jesus came to save, because it's already condemned. And I guess I just wanted to share that when Jeremiah is speaking, Babylon's coming, no matter what. And he's coming to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God said, you're dead. He's my servant, Isaiah said, that Nebuchadnezzar would be his servant. to accomplish his purposes. But hey, guys, I want you to have life. Here's my word from Jeremiah. Don't fight them. Go into captivity, and I'll be with you. You'll be blessed. So the abundant life came by hearing the word of the Lord and then being obedient to it. Those that refused to hear the word or were not obedient to it perished horribly. Okay. Now, moving on. As Jeremiah has had Barak, first of all, a group of people listen to it, and they were like, this is important information. We need to get this to the king and the princes and stuff. All of the swamp rats in D.C. needs to hear this message. They're not with us. We're open to Jeremiah, but it needs to get to the one that can institute the changes and stuff. And you go back to Josiah, and remember the father of Shaphan found the book of the law, the word of God, all dusty in the temple, and he dusted it off and brought it to Josiah, and they read it to Josiah, and he reformed the entire country, and there was a great prosperity that came because he read the word and he heard the word and noted how they had failed to keep God's word, and he brought those things back into existence. Then, of course, his son went back the other direction to where we are now. But scribes had a small knife next on their desk, next to their pen. They would use a reed pen in that day and stick it into an ink bottle of some sort of ink. I'm not sure what kind. But they would have to trim that reed every so often after they wrote to keep it sharp. And so here was this knife, and the king took that knife of the scribes, and he cut the word. He began to cut the parts he didn't like out of the word and threw them into the hearth that was in front of him because it was a winter time. Now, the first thing I want to share with you is that we have a world that hates the word of God. They absolutely hate it. They do not want it read. They feel like that is an intrusion on their personal rights. And so Christianity is snuffed under the rug in most public forums and stuff. And that has been a mentality that is working. I listened to a Trump speech down in Pensacola, and he said, Merry Christmas. See, I told you I would let you say Merry Christmas again. Did you know that got banned from the public school systems? You could say some kind of happy holiday or something like that, or winter break, but it was no longer Christmas holidays. It was Christmas holidays when I was a kid growing up in school. Oh, right, it's Christmas holidays. Can't say that. Because the world hates the Word of God. They want to destroy it. They want to burn it. Secondly, there is an element of society that accepts the Bible in partiality. I know somebody, a Christian, that would only read the red letters of the New Testament. He said the rest of the Bible was invaluable to a Christian. So he just read the words of Jesus. That's all he'd read. Sort of cutting out parts, columns, and throwing them in the fire. There are others that pervert the Word of God tremendously in Christendom. And then there is the pick-and-choose Christians. What I want to share with you here is something that I learned from my pastor, Chuck. And he used this verse quite often out of Acts 20. I've referred to it on occasion. And Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders, and he knew he was going to Jerusalem, and he knew he was going to go to his death. And so he told with them that I'm innocent, I'm pure from the blood of all men. And this is back to Ezekiel's word about being a watchman. If you, the blood is on them if you are, if you share. If you hold it to yourself, the blood's on your head. And he says, it's not on my head. I've shared with you the entire counsel of God. And Pastor Chuck would say, the only way to get the whole counsel of God is to read and teach every verse of the Bible. How else are you going to get all of the counsel of God? You're not going to do it by pick and choosing. You're not going to do it by picking your favorite, 50 favorite sermons and repeating them every year, topical sermons and messages. You're not going to do it by having this encouraging, tickle-the-ear message every Sunday. You're going to get the whole counsel of God by going through the entire Bible. Because the entire Bible is about Jesus. And we're going to get to that. The next thing I wanted to share with you, because I think skipping the most of the Bible is the biggest mistake of the church today. It isn't so much picking and choosing. It isn't so much perverting. There's a lot of that going on in some of the aberrant, somewhat claiming Christianity, but the skipping of the whole counsel of God and not teaching the whole Word of God to people, I believe is the worst of it. There's some that thinking cutting God's Word is the right thing because certain parts of it have progressed beyond the time it was written. Did our culture has shifted that we need to? It's sort of like the progressives with the U.S. Constitution. Some want to hold to it as a document. Others say it has to evolve or progress to fit the culture that we're living in. And so you have Supreme Court justices, nominees, and there's those that hold to the strict interpretation and those that are progressive and think it evolves. And I prefer to stick to the guys that take it literally. But but some want to look at the Bible the same way. And it's quite common, by the way. I was just sharing with Jeff this morning that there are pastors in pulpits that don't even believe Mary was a virgin. They would never say it from the pulpit, but that's what they believe in their heart. And this is going on all over Christendom in the United States. So consider as we're moving forward here. 5 minutes. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite verses. That the word of God, that word quick, is living in the old King James and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword and able to discern. The problem is that when we don't let the word of God come to life in our lives, we will lack the discernment between our own thoughts and the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. We can have different thoughts than the Holy Spirit has, but the only way to discern them is by the Word of God. Then you know whichever thought lines up with the Word of God is the thought of the Holy Spirit, not instead of your own. And you can cut that and discern it just like the Word does that between the marrow and the bone. And so if we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to be able to discern what God wants for us versus what we want for us. That's the way to know the difference. Further as we go on. But David wrote this, that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. You see, you can try to destroy the Bible. You can try to destroy the Word. You can burn it. You can throw it in the trash. Have massive book burnings. But it will still come to pass. Everything that has been written by God through His prophets. And again, you go back to verse 1 in the beginning of this message. You've got to believe that it's theonoustos, that it's God-breathed, what we read in our Word. Once you doubt one dot, yacht or tittle of the Bible, you have rendered it, what's the word? Into a realm of relevance. doesn't matter if it's absolute truth or not. It's relative to my situation and whether it fits my life and whether it does what I want, whether it's what will grow our church. We'll take the position that it's relative to whatever man wants to accomplish, and we'll move it to that fitting. So, the bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and He will do it, you leave out the I believe it part. God said it, it will happen. Whether you believe it or not, whether you throw a Bible in the fire, whether you read it or not, whether you make it part of your life or not, it will still be relevant and it will still be true in your life, regardless of what you believe. And that's the way it is. So David would write that, and Psalm 119 is a great one about the word. Isaiah 48, grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You can't shake it out. It's eternal and it's living. As it said, whether it's on media or it's on a projector or it's written with ink in a book, or whether you buy a CD and listen to it, somebody reading it on your in your car, it is still relevant and it's still eternal and it's still living and it cannot be destroyed. The media that it's on can be destroyed. You can run over the CD and crack it up. Our projector can lose its light bulb. You can take a Bible and throw it in a fire, but the word, see, is not is not confined to the media that it's on. It's eternal and it's living. So Isaiah makes that very clear. Now, let's go to something and shift directions. And I'm going to try to wrap this up. If I see Meredith come in, we'll end real quick. In Genesis, it says that God spoke and material universe came into being. Are you with me? Okay, speaking, He spoke the word. Jesus is the manifestation in time and matter and space of God. He's the word. He's the reality that you can see. He's been here. People saw Him. They heard Him. They touched Him. They ate with Him. They traveled with Him. And He will come again in like manner. Okay? So He is the Word of God, the reality of God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love this. Skip to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then we have a description, see, of Jesus, of God coming in the flesh. That Word that spoke and created the universe is now standing in our midst, Emmanuel, God with us. And I share this because in Revelation 19, when Jesus starts battling and taking out all the Christ haters, His name is called the Word of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is Him. And now I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts here, folks. We're going to close this up. And I want to just let you know how real the Word of God is. AD, Roman Emperor Diocletian ordered every Bible burned and destroyed every Bible that he could find. Good morning. Even portions. A Christian could be killed during his reign, Diocletian's reign, for having a Bible. The next emperor ordered the government to print Bibles at their expense. 20th century Armenian patient in an American hospital in Turkey was given a Bible, is his first he had ever possessed, When he left the hospital, he took his Bibles to his village, showed it to his friends. A Muslim teacher snatched the Bible from him, tore it from its binding, and threw it to pieces in the street. And a grocer passing down the street picked up the pages and used them for wrapping paper. It's Christmas time, right? Soon the pages of the Bible were scattered all over the entire village. Customers read the pages and asked for more. And sometimes later, a Bible seller came to the village and was amazed to find hundreds of people eager to buy the Holy Scriptures. Even a torn-up Bible see survived and did a great work. Ravi Zacharias, many of you know who he is, tells the story of a Vietnamese Christian named Hien Pham. And he was his interpreter during the Vietnam era. And Hien, being a Christian and a translator for missionaries and for Ravi Zacharias, was forced into arrest when North Vietnam fell. So he was now in prison. And his faith was shaken under that pressure. And the propaganda in the prison camp, and he decided he would no longer pray or think about his Christian faith anymore. He was so discouraged. And that night when he made that decision, the next day he was given the job of cleaning the latrines for the prison warden and the guards. Cleaning the latrines. As he cleaned out a tin can overflowing with toilet paper, his eye caught what seemed to be English printed on the paper. And he quickly grabbed it, washed it, and after his roommates went to sleep that night, he brought out the paper and read Romans 8. And we know that all things work for the good to those who love God. For I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Let's go through it real quickly. Which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And he cried, knowing that God had a word for him, having decided to give up on him the night before. So the prison official who thought the Bible was only fit for toilet paper actually rescued the faith of a believer. After finding the scripture, Hien asked the commander if he could clean the latrines every day. And each day he picked up a portion of scripture, cleaned it off, added it to his collection of nightly readings. You see, maybe King Zedekiah thought that he could destroy the Word of God. Maybe he didn't want to hear what it had to say because it didn't line up with what he believed. But you can't destroy what's everlasting. And you can't destroy what's forever written in heaven. You can try to cut it. You can try to pick and choose out of it. You can try to skip parts of it. But the truth is, we need the whole counsel of God. That's every book of the Bible and every verse in every book of the Bible. And I challenge whoever's watching and listening, and I challenge all the pastors of all the churches in this that are Christian in this country to start teaching the entire counsel of God. Every book of the Bible, every verse has Jesus in it. If you will just stop and meditate and listen to God. And so it is. Jeremiah 36 is about Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. All right, Father, if there's anyone here that just, Lord, is questions their faith, questions whether the Bible is holy Scripture, that it's theonoustos, that it's God-breathed, that it's prophets writing down things as they were moved by the Ruach of God, this breath of God. And I pray that would change in the heart now. Especially, Lord, as we see all of your word coming to pass before us. And especially the promise of Jesus that we're celebrating now during this holiday. So God, I pray for that, for our body, for those that believe. And if there's anyone here that doesn't realize that Jesus is God. He's God made flesh. He is the spoken word. May you receive him. Because when the word is spoken, there is light. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for knowing we would need you to come and manifest in the flesh. We thank you, Lord. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.